flavor is everywhere.
From text to mechanics.
Spicy pulls.
Salty plays.
The sweet taste of victory.
And the bitter sting of defeat.
It can lead to sour faces.
And umami friendships.
But all these flavors bring people together.
For a gathering.
A potluck of creativity, skill, and above all,
magic. Welcome to Flavor Profiles. I'm Nat.
And I'm Matt.
And today we are talking all about enhancing flavor.
So last week we gave you the first taste of balancing flavors with the hex. We're going to take another step and look at how we enhance. These are the ways we mix salty, sweet, sweet and savory, or umami, which are two pretty common enhancements, I'd say. We also get salty sour and sour savory.
Yeah. So last week we talked about balancing flavor, hashtag unbanned balance.
Unbanned balance coming soon to Bonfire.
We focused on the take and give of targeted removal. You know, the lovely, generous gifts dinner guests sometimes bring before bringing up unsavory conversations at the table.
Yeah, the gifts don't always help. And it's sort of appropriate that we go towards those unsavory conversations around the dinner table with Thanksgiving coming up.
Yeah, Thanksgiving's in, what, 2 days from when this episode releases? So,
oh my God, I just did the math on that and you're right.
Yeah.
I am not ready. I just want it over with, and can we just jump to Christmas? Can you do something with your Christmas sweater that you're wearing right now? For those who can't see, is there like some magical quality that'll just like snap your fingers and it'll start playing All I Want for Christmas by Mariah Carey?
Listen, I love Christmas. I'm one of those crazy people that starts celebrating Christmas before Halloween is over. And I love me some good Mariah Carey, but I love Thanksgiving food. Love Thanksgiving food. Stuffing is my absolute favorite food in the entire universe. So, like, if I were having my last meal, it would be stuffing.
What kind of stuffing? What do you like in it?
I just like the stovetop box of stuffing. Like,
nothing beats the classics, you know?
Just that. Like, I will just eat that itself, like, if I'm hungry.
Okay, we've got to go with this. If stuffing were a magic card, what would it be?
Oh, ooh, it would be something savory, obviously. I'm thinking. You know, I feel like stuffing is like a good anointed procession.
Oh, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, or like a Garouk's uprising, just one of those like solid enchantment cards that really helps out your deck.
Well, it's funny you talk about enchantments because that's what we're gonna focus on. Enchanting enhancements or enhanced enchantments.
However you look at it.
Just don't try and say either of those five times fast.
I know. Enhancing enchantments. Enchanting enhancements.
I'm going to be trying that for the next 10 minutes on my mind.
Oh, gosh. But there's so many types of enchantments in Magic.
I mean, we have auras. We have just vanilla enchantments. We now have kindred enchantments and even world enchantments, which you don't see too many of. I like to think of these as layers. I mean, layers in a dip, I guess, of play, player, and game. So a play-based enchantment is an enchant, maybe a permanent. It's targeted, specific, you know, a note you need in a recipe. And then from there, you go to your player enchantments that can take on a lot of different forms. Are you enchanting them with your wit and wonder in a game of Commander, kind of getting that social aspect, maybe a little bit of politicking? Or are we just going to curse them outright? And then looking at the game, think about maybe a pre-meal action. Some of your favorites with the ley lines, things that set the table and set the tone for your meal.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot to choose from. What about play enchantments?
So for play enchantments, I want to go back to last episode where we were looking at targeted removal and we discussed Darksteel Mutation, which was sort of an outlier in a lot of the instants and sorceries because it's an enchantment. And it allowed you to turn a targeted creature into a 0/1 indestructible insect. And I find that that's a nice, salty, sweet sort of enchantment that you could pull. But digging around from there, I started thinking, what are some other enchantments that fit these flavors? And the next one I thought to was All That Glitters. So another one in a white enchant creature. It gets +1/+1 for each artifact and or enchantment you control.
I have an enchantment deck. It is a Narsi Saga's deck. A lot of it is enchantment themed. All the enchantments work together. Enchantments, enchanting and other enchantments. You know, that's kind of crazy, but
enchantments on enchantments.
Yeah, enchantments, enchanting enchantments.
Well, that makes me think of Aromancer's Guide, which I don't think will work in that since it's blue, but another enchant creature and it gets +2/+2 for each aura attached to it.
Yeah, yeah. When you think about like the new precon that came out with Wilds of Eldraine, the enchantment one with the roles, the different roles. Rolls just made me think of the food rolls, but the whole deck is centered around just putting as many of those roll tokens on things as possible, whether they be your own or other players.
That could be fun. I haven't really explored that deck yet. I need to.
It pops off.
I played the fairy one and that thing was a blast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I love me some good tokens.
Yeah. Yeah. So that one's interesting because you're making enchantments, you're creating enchantments, which was something new. So enchantments are always evolving in Magic as we see.
Well, kind of spinning off to the Wilds of Eldraine precons. We talked about Bitter Blossom last week, which is kindred enchantment for fairies, which, while not in that deck, would be kind of applicable.
Yeah.
I mean, we are jumping the player one and just go into more world-based enchantments with it. But we can get back to the salty stuff later.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And Bitter Blossom, even though it is a kindred enchantment, gets used for a lot of other decks as well, too. Like I have a Bitter Blossom in my Chatterfang deck because it gives me squirrels. And
everyone
I know
loves squirrels.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like it's just a really strong enchantment to have in general, because who doesn't want a flying token every turn? You know, every time it's your turn, you get a fairy token. So
flyers win games.
Yeah, flyers win games. So I feel like even though, you know, it's a kindred enchantment, It can be quite global in a sense.
I'm sitting here looking through Scryfall, and it looks like we have 13 kindred enchantments covering fairies, goblins, rebels, Eldrazi. We've got elementals, a second fairy, giants, elves, kithkin, merfolk, treefolk. Eldrazi conscription's kind of a frightening one. Enchant creature for 8. enchanted creature gets +10/+10 and has trample and annihilator too.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, not awkward. The barest taste of Eldrazi power shatters both realms and identities. That's appropriate flavor text, I'd say.
Yeah. That feels very flavorful.
And legal. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
How about world enchantments? Have you used any of these before?
I don't think I have.
Maybe Concordant Crossroads.
Oh, I love Concordant Crossroads. It makes games so much faster. It gives everyone's creatures haste. So if you want a quick game, put a Concordant Crossroads in your deck. It'll make the game go faster.
Just rule 01 in on the board. That's untouchable for a quick game, too. That one's also got some good flavor text. The wolf closed in, but then a strange wind whispered through the leaves, and with a burst of speed, the deer surged forward and out of reach. We've got 26 options, though, with world enchantments.
Yeah, I think that's really the only one that I've used.
Looking through, I know I have an Arborea, because I believe they reprinted it in Dominaria Remastered, and that's one 2 green and 2 colorless. Creatures can't attack a player unless that player cast a spell or put a non-token permanent onto the battlefield during their last turn.
Mm.
That might slow the game down a bit.
Yeah. I feel like the world enchantments either speed the game up or slow the game down. Like there's no in between looking at these. You know, a lot of them deal with punishing players for not doing things or, you know, just completely buffing things.
I do like Living Plane.
Mm.
All lands are 1/1 creatures that are still lands.
Yeah, and they can't be tapped for mana the first turn they're brought into play.
That one could be fun. Revelation, all players play with their cards in their hands face up on the table.
You know, that's kind of funny because I help teach magic with magic kids at events. And that's how we teach people how to play magic. You play with the cards face up on the table so everyone knows what's in your hand.
That's how I teach the kiddo. He just started learning how to play. And so we lay all the cards out and add another row to the playmat and kind of go through one at a time. But it really works.
Yeah. Although if you're not learning, knowing what's in people's hands can really change the politics of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I played a game on Saturday this past weekend where everyone at the table knew I had a Swords to Plowshares in my hand. And so everyone was afraid to attack me because they didn't want to lose their thing. So, knowing what's in people's hands can be powerful.
It really can, but it also prevents you from bluffing too much.
That's true. You know, Field of Dreams is one I'm looking at, and I didn't know this card existed, but I really want to make sure I put it into my Jace Baseball Oathbreaker deck because I made all of my baseball Planeswalkers and Oathbreakers decks and made all the decks baseball themes, and it's a Field of Dreams.
Oh, I love that. It's so perfect.
And the card's not terrible. It says the tap card of each player's library is always face up, which could be kind of a fun element to add to Oathbreaker.
It's a low cost to cast. It's a one mana. But it's a bit higher cost to acquire.
Yeah. That's probably why I didn't put it in there. It's from Legends, so it's a fun
card, though. I would love to play in a game with that on the field.
Yeah, we might have to get a proxy of that. And make it a Field of Dreams proxy. That's going to happen. It's going to happen.
With a Field of Corn with the Field of Corn with the Planeswalkers coming through it.
Yes.
Proxy artists, get into our comments.
Yes. If someone wants to do that for me, hit me up.
we'll take two.
Yeah, the world enchantments are interesting. Other than Concordant Crossroads, I don't think I'd seen any of these before. Although most of them are older, so.
Yeah, they're definitely from earlier sets. And apart from one or two being reprinted, I don't think we'll see many of them. It almost feels like the idea of a world enchantment has kind of gone away for just a straight enchantment.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also enchantments that, while they don't directly affect everyone with a boon, they do affect the world.
They do.
Thinking about your favorites, especially Leyline of the Void.
Mm-hmm.
I still get a little twitchy every time I see one of those come out or hear the phrase, I have a pregame action.
Yeah, if I ever have a pregame action, it's probably a Leyline, and most likely Leyline of the Void. It's funny because I do have a lot of graveyard decks, so I'm sure I wouldn't like, you know, that card being played against me. But, you know, there's something so satisfying about changing the way the game is going to get played before the game starts.
It really is, because it changes the calculus of how you're looking at it and mm-hmm. how you're going to play your deck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if everything's going to be exiled and you're relying on pulling things back from the graveyard, you're kind of hosed.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to be more careful about decisions you're making. Some of the other ley lines aren't as, you know, oppressive to others and more beneficial to yourself, but they still change the way the game's played.
I do want to note the flavor text from the original printing of Leyline, and I think it was Guild Pact, where Treachery and Oblivion converge.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
One that almost kind of seems like fun for me, and talking about speeding up games, Leyline of the Meek, creature tokens get +1/+1.
Yeah, that one is good for token decks. Absolutely. You know, there's so many of them. You know, there's another one that I've played fairly regularly is Leyline of Anticipation, where mm-hmm. You can cast spells as though they had flash. So that changes the way you play the game because, you know, you may wait and not play something on your turn, play it on someone else's turn. So changes the way you play.
I use one of those in my Nira deck.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make things a little more chaotic.
Yeah.
What's interesting, looking at the breakdown, we only have 11 ley lines, only one in mono black. We have 3 in red.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder why red got an extra one, if they just felt like red needed something.
So the latest would have been, I think, Leyline of Combustion.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I'm wondering, kind of looking through, it looks like Leyline of Punishment might have been the one-off.
Mm-hmm.
From Magic 2011.
Yeah, that one's interesting. Players can't gain life. Damage can't be prevented. I wonder if they kind of use that as a test subject. And then they're like, oh, ley lines seem like a fun idea. Let's expand upon that and do it for the other colors.
Let me take a look and see. So we had a full set of Wooburg in 2011. We had Anticipation, Punishment, Sanctity, Void, and Vitality.
Okay.
Really, it looks like we're going to have to go back to Guild Pact to get the original, which was Life Force, Lightning, Singularity, the Meek, and the Void. Those are the ones that started it all. So I'm guessing along the way, they decided to try out one or two more.
Yeah.
And it looks like instead of a new one, they just reprinted Leyline of the Void.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so good. Do you really need to add another? I mean, I'd like another, but it's good enough to bring it back.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, you're right there. I mean, I guess they could add another black one that deals with maybe life loss card draw. That's something that seems very black specific. But, you know, like you said, I think Leyline of the Void kind of is just such a good card on its own. Why would you need to add more?
So I'm hearing we need to just do a deck of oops, all ley lines.
I don't know about that. I feel like they are all so different and so color specific that
I need to start leveraging these a little bit
more. Yeah, maybe if you did like a Legendary Matters deck and included ley lines and then had Leyline of Singularity, which makes all non-land permanents legendary, you know, that might work, but
I'm just thinking about, what is it, Jota, the Unifier?
Yeah, do like a Jota deck.
That just sounds a bit salty.
It either feels like salty or it feels like it's just like so much that like it doesn't work, you know what I'm saying? Like it's just, it's too much.
Too much flavor.
Too much flavor.
Too much of a good thing.
We enhanced it too much.
Yeah, there's a point where you can't cut it anymore and you've just added too many.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so.
Why don't we look at enchanting players then?
This is one of my favorite things. I love curses. I really tried to build a full curse deck. I used Queen Marchesa for that. It didn't quite play together the way I wanted it to, mm-hmm. but yeah, I love a good curse aura.
I'm a fan. I've only played one or two of these, I want to say, but I've been targeted by many more of them.
Mm-hmm. And
there's a lot of fun. I mean, the most common I want to say is probably Curse of Opulence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So whenever enchanted player is attacked, create a gold token. Each opponent attacking that player does the same. And that's enough to kind of target someone for removal from the game.
Yeah. That one's good. That one's good. One of my personal favorites, this should come to the shock of nobody, is Curse of the Bloody Tomb. At the beginning of enchanted player's upkeep, that player puts the top two cards of their library into their graveyard. It's mill. I love a good mill card.
I wonder what deck that's in.
It's in my mill Oathbreaker deck, mm-hmm. actually. I put every... Well, not every possible mill card, because you can only have a certain number of cards in an Oathbreaker deck, but that card is in that deck. So when you have less cards in your deck, that deck, that card, that curse does work because punishing. You know, I just thought of something very interesting because lot of these cards deal with upkeep.
Mm-hmm.
One of the decks that I have been working on recently is from Doctor Who. It's the Ninth Doctor, where you get additional upkeeps.
Yep.
I just realized that curses are very good against that deck because a lot of these deal with something that happens on that player's upkeep. So if you have extra upkeeps, it's punishing you even more. So that's very interesting that I just thought about.
So watch out for Nat when the Ninth Doctor comes out of the deck box.
Just pull out your curse deck, you know, you'll take care of me.
There's going to now be a run of all the curses just to be prepared for when they run into you in Chicago.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, because imagine you have like Curse of Thirst, which is at the beginning of Enchanted Player's upkeep. It deals damage to that player equal to the number of curses attached to them. So imagine mm-hmm. if like you cursed me with a bunch of stuff and then that triggered, like I would be taking a lot of damage every upkeep and I would probably be dead.
I got hit with a Curse of Thirst once. It was not fun. And I think I also had Opulence and one other, maybe it was Curse of Fool's Wisdom, which is whenever enchanted player draws a card, they lose two life and you gain two life.
Mm.
I want to mm-hmm. say there was a Howling Mine in play too. I did not last long.
You know, I just saw there's a really cool one in here, Maddening Hex. You know, we talked about hexes mm-hmm. and this one is dealing with dice rolling. Whenever enchanted player casts a non-creature spell, roll a d6 and it deals damage to that player equal to the result. Then you attach Maddening Hex to one of your other opponents chosen at random. So it's kind of like a random curse, you know? You don't know how much damage they're going to take. You don't know who it's going to go to next.
That one's kind of fun, and it's from AFR Commander.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
I don't remember this card.
Maybe you didn't get that Commander deck.
Yeah, I'm wondering, was this in the Dragon one?
Maybe. I don't know.
I think I'm going to have to get one of these. It just looks like fun. And another one with appropriate flavor text. Much more painful than mere regret.
I love that. I love that flavor text.
I think that's my favorite so far from the curses and some of the enchantments this evening.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's pretty good. I love that one. I might have to steal that.
What are some others that you find yourself going to just across any of the levels? Play, player, game.
You know, I talked about those savory ones, those ones that you just use in a lot of decks. So like mm-hmm. Grooks Uprising, Anointed Procession, Doubling Season is a big one. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't love Primal Vigor. A lot of people like it. But, and it's weird that I don't like it. It's because a lot of people have played it against me. People forget that Primal Vigor affects everyone else's creatures. Mm-hmm. And so I've had a lot of games where the Primal Vigor has actually benefited me more than the person who played it. And so I don't love that card because I feel like, you know, now there's so many similar deck themes mm-hmm. that Primal Vigor can actually help out your opponents more than mm-hmm. you.
It's a good way to speed up games.
That's true. It's like Concordant Crossroads. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you're just helping everyone out.
I forget whose stream I was on, but one of the things that they did after, it was either after a certain point or it was a channel point redemption, but it put a Primal Vigor on the battlefield that could not be tampered with. Just kind of like a world enchantment. And it ended up being a blast. But at the same time, I feel your assessment's really accurate on it, because a lot of times you play it, you got to be playing it for the hilarity of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And not just the, dare I say it, the doubling season at home.
Doubling season at home. Oh, mm-hmm. no.
We're going to get so many comments on that one.
I know. I'm trying to think of what other ones. Oh, this one was from this year. Mm-hmm. And it has turned out to be such a good card for so many different reasons. Mm-hmm. That is All Will Be One.
Ugh.
From the All Will Be One Phyrexia set that came out earlier this year. Uh-huh. That says whenever you put one or more counters, that's any kind of counter, on a permanent or player, All Will Be One deals that much damage to target opponent, creature and opponent controls, or planeswalker and opponent controls. So this card is like so good for mm-hmm. so many different reasons.
And I use it in my Oathbreaker deck.
Yeah, this card like just does not disappoint. Like it's a good card.
One that I've had fun with. Not on that scale, but combat research.
Yeah.
From Dominaria United. I use that in my Miram, my library deck. Because, in the art, it's someone researching a book while some horrid monster is coming around the library stack. But this is enchant creature, and the enchanted creature has, whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, draw a card.
Mm-hmm.
And if the creature is legendary, it gets +1/+1 and has ward one, all for one blue.
Yeah, that's pretty good. There's also a lot of good like blue low cost enchantment. I think they're auras technically mm-hmm. that give your creatures unblockable. And I feel like those cards are so underrated. They're cheaper than, you know, a Rogue's Passage, than, you know, they're usually like one or two mana. Like they're good cards.
Arcane Flight from Dominaria. It's one mm-hmm. blue. It's just a common aura. Enchanted creature gets +1/+1 and has fly.
Yeah.
That's possibly enough to get through in most cases, unless there's reach or other flyers.
Yeah.
But a 4-cent card, that's not bad.
Seriously. One of the other cards that I love to play as an enchantment is As Foretold. Mm-hmm. Speaking of putting counters on things, we recently saw As Foretold show up in the Doctor Who decks. At the beginning of your upkeep, you put a time counter on it. And then once each turn, you can pay 0 rather than pay the cost for a spell you cast with mana value X, where X is the number of counters you have on it. So any sort of way to proliferate this, or, even just each upkeep, like, mm-hmm. you know, first turn, you could have a free Soul Ring or a free Wayfarer's Bauble. Next turn, you have a free Arcane Signet or, you know, a small creature. And then, like, it just keeps getting bigger and keeps getting bigger. And I feel like people forget about As Foretold. So mm-hmm. they typically, like, don't target it when, like, they have enchantment removal. Because usually there's something, like, scarier out on the board that people are like, oh, you know, I need to get rid of, you know, this person's Descent into Avernus over this As Foretold. So, but like, you get a free spell every turn. Like, it's a good card.
I'm going to have to add that one. Last weekend, I went to Lost Caverns of Ixalan pre-release, and I didn't have anything spectacular in my pool, but I ended up really leveraging Dead Weight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a common one black enchant creature. Enchanted creature gets -2/-2. But going up against a bunch of 1/1 flyers that were just pummeling me.
Yeah.
I'd use that. And then when the creature would get removed, enchantment goes to the graveyard, then it would trigger Descend.
Mm.
And then depending on what descend I had, I think it was, I'm going blank on which card it was, but it was giving me 1/1 counters.
Okay.
Every time I'd cast these little small enchantments that would ultimately remove a creature, I'd start buffing things up. So it ended up being kind of a little bonus I'd get.
Yeah. And then there's the enchantment backgrounds from Baldur's Gate,
mm-hmm.
which like are so good. So good. I raved about this set when it came out, and I rave about it to this day because the enchantment backgrounds from Baldur's Gate are some of the best enchantments you can play in your commander games.
I love these. And as a D&D person, I thought these were fun. They were flavorful. It was a great little addition to build off of AFR. I won't lie, I kind of hope they do another D&D theme along the lines of Baldur's Gate, because there's so much more for them to explore.
Mm-hmm.
But I use several of these throughout decks. Particularly Passionate Archaeologist and Candlekeep Sage are two I use.
And the mana cost on these are like so low. Most of these are like 2 to 3 mana. The exception being Raised by Giants, which is, it makes commander creatures 10/10s. It's understandable that one costs a little bit more, but yeah, Passionate Archaeologist is so good. Noble Heritage is mm-hmm. really good. Sword Coast Sailor, I think, is one that people need to play more. If you're playing Folk Blue, Hero. Yeah, Folk Hero.
Or Dragon like, Cultist, even.
They're all just really good cards. And so
there's something for everyone in there.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So I think these are some of the best enchantments you can play in your commander decks.
I'd love to see more of these backgrounds and sort of one-off card types. It's kind of a sad moment when we see something kind of new and creative and then we only get it for one set.
Yeah.
The backgrounds are one. Battles were another that I thought, oh, that could be kind of interesting.
Yeah, these are just so unique because they enhance your commanders in every game. You know, whether it's sitting in the command zone, because if you have a commander would choose a background, then you can put it in your command zone. But if not, then, you know, they're still great in the 99 of the deck. They enhance your commander. They enhance the deck as a whole.
Everyone likes a little extra flavor, and you really get to build out the story of your commander.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And with that, I think we'll be seeing everyone next time for another episode. Been great having you in our kitchen.
Let us know if you have a favorite flavor on socials.
We can be found on Twitter, YouTube, and everywhere your favorite podcasts are served up.
Just search for Flavor Profiles.
Our music is by Cormac Bluestone.
Thank you for listening.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Nat.
Until next time.
Until next time.
Keep cooking magic.